Access and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. President-elect Donald Trump says he will impose 25% tariffs on two of the U.S.'s biggest trading partners, Canada and Mexico, on his first day in office. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Generally speaking, tariffs tend to lead to higher prices for goods paid by an importing company. If that firm chooses to pass on the cost of the tariff, consumers will pay more for a variety of goods.
Trump also plans to increase tariffs on imports from China by 10%, but didn't say when. A couple of storm systems will impact some Thanksgiving travelers this week.
7 a.m. on Thanksgiving morning. That storm now is into parts of the Ohio River Valley. A little bit of snow across the northern tier. Heavy rain then pushes into the northeast. That'll create some problems, not just for the parade, but for travel across the board until things clear out on Friday. Not great timing. Thursday looks to be a potent day in the northeast.
CBS News meteorologist Rob Marciano. AAA predicts a record number of people are traveling this week. Eric and Lyle Menendez will have to wait until January for a judge to decide if they should be resentenced for killing their parents in Beverly Hills in 1989. The brothers claim it was self-defense after their father sexually abused them.
The sisters of Jose and Kitty Menendez said that Eric and Lyle served enough time, arguing that the family is heartbroken over the abuse. The judge says he has 17 boxes of evidence he needs to review before making a ruling on a possible resentence. The judge also wants to give a recently elected DA time to review the case as well. The next court hearing is scheduled for January. Elise Preston, CBS News, Los Angeles.
The FBI suspects an international crime operation was behind the recent break-ins at the homes of several NFL and NBA stars. CBS News national security contributor Samantha Vinograd.
These transnational organized criminals take their time picking targets. They develop very detailed operational plans, and they launch sophisticated operations. So it is incredibly prudent that the sports leagues, working in close cooperation with federal and state and local law enforcement, are warning players to be more careful when it comes to both their public personas as well as the actual security measures at their homes.
The homes of Kansas City Chiefs stars Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Milwaukee Bucks forward Bobby Portis were among those burglarized. The 1971 computer game The Oregon Trail is heading to the big screen. More from CBS News Minnesota reporter David Schumann.
The game's become known for the many ways players can die. Dysentery was always a crowd pleaser. Now, more than 50 years after the first Oregon Trail program, Apple is reportedly developing the game into an action comedy movie.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join us for the next Midday Magazine as we welcome in part one our friends from the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce and in part two the Family Center. It's 4 to 5 at 97.5 FM WFHR.
The Packers prepare for Thanksgiving. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. For the second year in a row, the Green Bay Packers are playing on Thanksgiving. Last year, they beat the Lions in Detroit 29-22. The game got some of the highest ratings ever. This year, the Packers are at home Thursday night against the Dolphins, kickoff at 7:20. Matt LaFleur asked if there was time to review the tape of their win over the 49ers Sunday night.
I'm sure Miami's going to look at that tape, so you better know what you did and the areas where you may be susceptible to getting exposed and make those corrections and move on.
The Badgers host Minnesota this Friday, kickoff at 11 a.m. Head coach Luke Fickell asked his safety Hunter Waller will be back after missing the last game with an injury. Waller leads the team in tackling.
No, we don't know. Those are things that we're going to have to play out through the week. There's a lot of guys that are kind of in a similar situation that, you know, as you get to the end of the year, you know, it's a grueling season. The Big Ten is not the easiest road in the world.
That's Wisconsin head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, Glicked Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom, The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Skies turning partly cloudy in the overnight. Northwest winds, though, still breezy, and lows dropping to the upper teens. On Tuesday, look for quite a bit of sunshine and also a few high clouds in the afternoon. Highs in the upper 20s to near 30. Right now, it's 19.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will be talking about tariffs and the languishing farm bill with Hans Breitenmoser, and we'll wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a man barely 6 feet tall, but a mountain of muscle, Pete Schwabe.
Welcome. Welcome, welcome. Tonight, light, ladies and gentlemen, it's great to have you. Happy Monday, everybody. It is a rainy, chilly day here in Northeast Wisconsin, as I understand it is pretty much all over the state. Wherever you are joining us from, thank you so much for being here. We hope to entertain you over the next couple hours and hope you ease in to the rest of your night after a long, well, is it a long work day? I don't know. Is this a week everybody's kind of slacking off at work? I mean, I didn't slack off, Conrad, but I will admit it was tough to, more so than other days, tough to like gear up for the show, I guess.
Yeah.
Once I get in the car, I'm fine. But, you know, that when you're laying around in the morning, it's like, man, it feels like a holiday.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree.
So you're saying you're slacking off?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not doing anything over here, man.
Well, that's great. Yeah, it is great to have you here. We have a really fun show planned tonight. We are live tonight and tomorrow night, and we put some really cool shows together for Wednesday through Friday of this week. Some of our best interviews and some of my best guests will be on throughout. So you will still have Nightlight all week if you so choose. If you get sick of family, if you get sick of watching football, you're out of movies to watch, whatever it is, we will be here Wednesday through Friday with some really fun stuff and some great interviews from previous shows. Tonight, my guests are one of our frequent flyers, Rob Thomas. If you haven't already heard the news, Rob has left the Capital Times, and he is now the editor for the newsletter at CityCast Madison, a really fun new kind of, I don't know if it's a step up to be an editor. That's pretty cool, but Rob's doing very well for himself and still reviewing great films and television. So he is one of our favorites to talk about on such topics, and he will be here tonight. This is interesting. I saw Gladiator 2 over the weekend. Rob saw Wicked. Did you get to the theater by any chance, Conrad?
No, I had Thanksgiving all weekend, so I was doing that.
Yeah,
but
right. You have like seven Thanksgivings you celebrate. That's right.
I really wanted to get out to Wicked.
Well, I was going to go see Wicked, but my wife, God bless her, is going to see Wicked with the girls. So she wanted to go see Gladiator 2, and which I wanted to see too, but I was, I don't know, I just know Wicked is going to be different. I guess I was anticipating seeing Wicked more than Gladiator, but I did like Gladiator. We'll get into that. But Rob saw Wicked, so we'll have a chance to compare and contrast and break down the numbers for a Glicked weekend and some really cool other stuff Rob is watching as well. And Rob will tell us what we can look forward to in the coming weeks regarding new releases and holiday films. And then at 7:20, Jeff Pfeiffer joins the show. He is a producer for Wisconsin, for PBS Wisconsin. And he will be here to talk about a special he produced called Wisconsin Lighthouses. I think lighthouses are really cool. I'm kind of fascinated by them. Some of them, according to producer Todd Michaels, who produces Mino and the Mayor and is also a paranormal investigator. He does that as a side hustle. Not even a hustle, just an interest. But he has told some really cool story about lighthouses. So they're just kind of mysterious and romantic and cool and beautiful. And for that reason alone, it is not a surprise to me at all that PBS decided to do a special called Wisconsin Lighthouses. So I'm looking forward to watching that. And it will be fun to talk to Jeff in the second hour tonight a little bit about the special that he produced and get some more details on what you can expect to see if you tune in. So as I mentioned, I did see Gladiator 2, and you know, it was sort of how I suspected. I felt like I was watching not the first Gladiator again, but it was parts of it were sort of like an ode to the first film, which I really liked. I thought it was great. I thought the cast in this was great. I just didn't think it was as different as the first one was. It's a sequel. We've already kind of seen it, but it didn't. It didn't disappoint. Denzel Washington is getting Oscar buzz. He was great. But I would say Pedro Pascal, maybe an even better performance than Denzel Washington. And maybe it's just because I expect Denzel Washington to be great and everything because he is. But Pedro Pascal was outstanding. Connie Nielsen is outstanding. And Paul Mescal was good. But it just, I don't know, it didn't have that same punch the first Gladiator had, if that makes sense. But we will talk about that with Rob at 6:35. That's coming up in about 20 or so minutes. We, Conrad, are you ready for our, I think we should get the question out there because I'm very anxious to see what people say for tonight's question. So you ready?
Yeah.
Let's do this.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your favorite Thanksgiving side dish? Assuming most people will have ham or turkey, and not everybody does. Some people opt for different kinds of food to indulge themselves. Some people... maybe you can't afford ham or turkey. I don't know. Whatever it is that you eat on Thanksgiving, there are no rules to this, but we would love it if you share your favorite side dish. What is your favorite Thanksgiving side dish? Obviously, I'm expecting you guys to say the more traditional ones, which is great. That's what I'll be choosing. I'll go first. I'll just say mine is potatoes, mashed potatoes. I cannot, it's probably the Irish side of me. I cannot get enough potatoes. And as I may or may not have mentioned, I like them with butter and salt and pepper. Old school, baby. That's my favorite side. Con man, do you have a favorite side?
You know, I'd say I'm going to go with the potatoes route too, but cheesy way.
Cheesy potatoes.
Yeah.
On Thanksgiving.
They're so good.
That's like anarchy.
I this past weekend I had turkey, ham, mac and cheese with a little crust on top too, you know what I mean?
Oh, for your other Thanksgiving celebration?
Yeah, and okay. then cheesy potatoes.
You mean like au gratin?
What is it?
Like cut up into slices, like round circle potatoes, and then you put cheese over it and bake it? Or are you talking about just cheese on mashed potatoes?
Oh, no. It's like more like hash brown kind of.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And then, yeah, so that's the good stuff.
That is good stuff. I've never had that for Thanksgiving. I always consider cheese on like hash browns as like a breakfast thing, and I've had them a lot of times at breakfast, and it's delicious. Never even consider that for Thanksgiving. So that's two votes for potatoes here, folks, for our side dishes. Conrad went with the cheesy hash brownie type, and I went with the mashed potato type. So what is your favorite Thanksgiving side dish? What do you like? The cranberries, the stuffing? My dad makes oyster dressing. I don't know if anybody else eats it, but he makes it. And then we have the regular stuffing, green bean casserole, corn, pumpkin bread is a big one at our house. And devour it. It's like an old family recipe. A little butter on there. Great stuff. But what is your favorite Thanksgiving side dish? Let us know at 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. There are no right or wrong answer, folks. This isn't even pass-fail. You could just share your opinion, and I will read it on the radio. Always fun to do that, and it's more fun when you guys participate. You can also text us on the app. We are on statewide as we broadcast here from downtown Green Bay. And you just go to any one of the stations playing the show and click the little text icon next to it, and we will get your text that way. And Conrad can fill you in, if he would, on how you can stream us and watch the radio.
Yeah, so it's on Facebook. We're on WISS, WGBW, or Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. On YouTube, we're under Civic Media or WGBW. And on Twitter, we are Civic Media or WGBW.
If you're there, give us a like or a follow. It's great to get a like or a follow. If I was saying that 20 years ago, I wouldn't even know what that meant. Hey, give me a like or a follow.
That's just someone passing by giving you a thumbs up.
Exactly. And that's fine too. This is more lasting though. There's like a record. There's like a record of your thumbs up or your follow. We love to get those. It was a fun weekend. So you celebrated Thanksgiving. I did not do much. I have to be honest. I anticipated this week being very busy. Family coming to town. As I mentioned here, I drove to Green Bay and worked for 2 hours in the morning. I did not plan on doing that, but I got a lot done. So it all worked out. And then I watched football and, all right, I'm just going to go out on a limb here, Conrad. You're Packers.
Yeah.
Are they getting breaks? Like they keep, like now they face the Niners without the starting quarterback, without Bosa. I will say, I think they would have won anyway, because it was a home game. But that game should have been more competitive, don't you think?
This is what I'll say, because I've heard a lot of people say, they got a break because they didn't have their starting quarterback. Well, I mean, we didn't have our starting quarterback, and we still won games. So
what's your point?
That's just saying my piece right there. They can be competitive. They still have Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle. They still have weapons. Yeah. They still have Trent Williams on the offensive line.
And not only that, what do you... Kyle Shanahan is on the hot seat?
Yeah.
The guy's gone to two... I know he didn't win one. And he kind of looks like a skateboarder. He's got... I think that would drive me crazy if he was my coach at one. But the guy knows how to call plays. He has had incredible weapons as well, though.
Let's just say, I don't think 49ers are used to having a losing record. And they're just, you know...
That's true.
Pointing it right at someone. And the only person they can point it at is really the coach right now, I feel like.
My Bears, on the other hand... Every time they spin something after a lose and the coach talks, the sportscasters I listen to say like, yeah, it was a terrible car crash, but the airbags went off flawlessly. That's how low the bar is in Chicago right now. And I would say they should have beat the Packers, but I wouldn't say that. They should have hit the field goal, but I didn't think it was a good game up until then. So I don't know. But I will say the Vikings are tough. Detroit is incredible. If Patrick Mahomes was not in the AFC or on the Chiefs, I would say the Lions are an odds-on favorite for the Super Bowl. Maybe they still are to win the Super Bowl, I should say.
I mean, they look like a good team.
They're just really well-rounded. And they lost their top pass rusher, and they're still crushing people.
Yeah, it's...
So it'll be interesting.
This NFC North is just... Who's going to lose first, you know?
I know. And I had all my Packer fan friends on Facebook. I saw, hey, we're cheering for the Bears today. I'm like, what? I'm like, so a victory for me as a Bear fan is the fact that the Bears lost, bumming out Packer fans. How twisted is that for my sports fandom?
Yeah, I mean, you really only cared about Caleb Williams playing well. And
I do.
He did.
I do. Lose them all, get another great draft pick, and let him come along nicely. I guess that's life as a Bear fan.
And Eberflus has just got to go.
He's got to go. He's gone. I think there's rumors now he might be gone after Thanksgiving if like Detroit hangs a 40 or a 50 burger.
They're just being nice. So like, you can spend time with your family on Thanksgiving and have a good football game. You're out.
We don't want to keep you from the things you love. All right. Rob Thomas is here at 6:35. When we come back, we're going to do a WKRP tribute. This is Pete Schwabba, Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Here comes my baby. Here she comes now, walking with a love, with a love that's hoped on fine, never to be mine, no matter.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
The Badgers.
Beats Max, fakes the three, takes the three, left side, yes sir.
Flee.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it, with the right hand, it counts on a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, a professor emeritus of democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life. The
way sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're breaking out the classics. Haven't heard that one in a while. Remember when I was telling you last week I needed a new battery on my computer? Because and you said this isn't just with Macs, but I've only owned Macs. And they, when the battery sometimes can expand, and then your computer has like a rounded bottom. It's just like teetering. And I got a buddy of mine replaced the battery the other day, and it's like a brand new computer. It's the little things in life that are glorious.
I have a laptop. I think it's a HP maybe. I can't remember what it is. But yeah, it is. It has an expanded battery. And the battery life is about 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's useless. And you can't even, like, it's not so bad when you have a PC, because they're not as expensive, but it almost behooves you. Like, if you're a Mac owner, you have to do everything you can to keep that machine. Like, if I wanted to replace the computer I have right now, it's like $1,500.
Yeah, the Macs every year just get more expensive.
It is. And I'm so annoyed with their accessories and how they always want you to buy different stuff. They really do bleed their customers, I think. Well, and I should stand on principle and not buy a Mac, but I feel so rudimentary when I'm on a PC and I'm like poking and clicking. It's just awful. I don't know.
It's like every year they have a new charger for it.
Yeah.
That costs more money to buy.
All kinds of adapters, $20 a pop. Get out of here. I heard Jimmy Cuska on the news saying 1.4 million people are going to be traveling by car in Wisconsin this weekend. Folks, if you are traveling by car, take your time. You know, if you drive 5 or 10 minutes, miles an hour less, it's going to take you 5 or 10 more minutes. It's not worth speeding. I mean, even today, I'm sure this number includes those who travel today. And I saw so many people just, and I don't know if it has anything to do with Thanksgiving, but slow down. There's so many people on the road this week. Where are you going? You're going to Florida, right?
Yeah. So they'll have to be careful up in the roads in the air.
Yeah. I think they got that covered.
So today, I was just going down Washington, you know? And you know that stop, right, where that intersection is down there?
Yeah.
Where we don't have a stop sign, but they do?
Yeah.
This guy just could not wait. Like, he almost hit me, cutting in front of me.
And why? What? So you can get somewhere.
There was no one in front of me, no one behind me. Yeah. It was just me. That's the thing you got to look out for when you're driving.
People lose their minds.
Because they feel like they're in a rush.
Yeah.
It's not worth risking your life over
something. Their plans are more important than yours.
I guess so.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, so one of our favorite... when I say our, I mean as a collective body of Americans, favorite sitcom episodes is WKRP when the big guy, Arthur Carlson, decided to do a promotion where they throw turkeys out of a helicopter and have them fly. And there was just one small mistake they made, and we will hear that now on this clip at the end of the clip. Stick with it. It's very funny. It's Les Nessman reporting outside of a shopping mall, and Johnny Fever, Venus Flytrap, and Andy are listening back at the station to Les's report as he reports on the carnage that is happening and falling from the sky.
And, oh yes, I can see it now. It's a helicopter, and it's coming this way.
A helicopter.
It's flying something behind it. I can't quite make it out. It's a large banner, and it says, Happy Thanksgiving from WKRP. What a sight, ladies and gentlemen. What a sight. The copter seems to be circling the parking area now. I guess it's looking for a place to land. No, something just came out of the back of the helicopter. It's a dark object. Perhaps a skydiver plummeting to the earth from only 2,000 feet in the air. Second, the third. There's no parachutes yet.
Those can't be skydivers. I can't tell just yet what they are, but... Oh, my God, they're turkeys!
Are you there? Les isn't there. Thanks for that on-the-spot report, Les. For those of you who just tuned in, the Pinedale Shopping Mall has just been bombed with live turkey. Film at 11.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
That is, I mean, I don't know if there's a more famous Thanksgiving scene than that on TV or film. That is every year. I hear that probably 10 times from either radio stations or on TV or people posting it on social media. Such a funny scene. You ever see that show?
No, I've only seen the clips that you've
that I've shared. I always say I want to go back and revisit it to see if the show holds up, because I really liked it as a kid. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. But that scene is still holds up. It's a great scene. Okay, so let's read some text. Conrad, should we do that? We don't need a reason to do that.
I don't think we need a reason.
We've asked the question. It's out there. Tonight's question is, what is your favorite Thanksgiving side dish? Thanksgiving side dish. We all know about the turkey and the ham or the whatever you do, but we're reading texts right now, folks. And if you text us, we read it. That is how this operation works. Steve from the 608 says, wild rice stuffing has mushrooms and blue cheese and water chestnuts. I have not heard of that. Wow, that sounds fantastic, actually. Michael, from the 608. Corn pudding. That's an up-and-comer.
I don't even know what that is.
I didn't know what it was, but I've heard a lot of people recently talk about corn pudding. I'm not a pudding fan typically, but I've heard so much about it, I might have to check it out. And then Anna from the 608 says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite Thanksgiving side dish is candied yams with brown sugar and pecans. No marshmallows. Oh, my God. Anything candied with brown sugar, too, is great. Keep those texts coming, folks. We'll read some more after the news. Award-winning news here at Civic Media. And then Rob Thomas is coming up. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Build you a home. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
CBS News Brief. President-elect Donald Trump plans to hit the ground running. He says he will impose 25% tariffs on all goods from Canada and Mexico on day one of his term.
This could have negative implications for industries like auto manufacturers, farmers, and food packagers.
CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger. Some of the record number of people traveling this Thanksgiving week will have to keep an eye on the weather.
We know there'll be some rain and things along the way, so there will be points where the driving might sort of fall into the icky category, but it doesn't look like anything is shaping up to really derail people's treks home.
CBS News senior transportation correspondent Chris Van Cleve. An action comedy movie based on a Hall of Fame video game is in the works. Players of the Oregon Trail had to avoid dying in numerous horrible ways, including snake bite or dysentery. Here's hoping it's a little safer experience in the theater. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Packers prepare for Thanksgiving. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. For the second year in a row, the Green Bay Packers are playing on Thanksgiving. Last year, they beat the Lions in Detroit 29-22. The game got some of the highest ratings ever. This year, the Packers are at home Thursday night against the Dolphins, kickoff at 7:20. Matt LaFleur asked if there was time to review the tape of their win over the 49ers Sunday night.
I'm sure Miami's going to look at that tape, so you better know what you did and the areas where you may be susceptible to getting exposed and make those corrections and move on.
The Badgers host Minnesota this Friday, kickoff at 11 a.m. Head coach Luke Fickell asked if safety Hunter Waller will be back after missing the last game with an injury. Waller leads the team in tackling.
No, we don't know. Those are things that we're going to have to play out through the week. There's a lot of guys that are kind of in a similar situation that, you know, as you get to the end of the year, you know, it's a grueling season. The Big Ten is not the easiest road in the world.
That's Wisconsin head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's been a long road for the live-action version of Snow White, but there is now a release date in sight. The Disney flick has been in development since 2016 and was supposed to be released in 2024. Greta Gerwig wrote the script for the film, which stars Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot. Snow White will hit theaters March 21st of 2025. Hollywood is full of crazy stories, and actor Josh Brolin has a doozy he shared in his new memoir, From Under the Truck. Brolin tells the story of when he met acting legend Marlon Brando. Brolin attended a dinner at his stepmother Barbara Streisand's house, along with John Travolta and Kelly Preston. Brolin recalled that Brando showed up with a bleeding leg because he stopped to pull someone from a mudslide on the way to the party. Travolta, a well-known Scientologist, noticed and told Brando he had just gotten to the next level as a Scientologist and said he could heal him. Brolin recalled watching Danny Zuko heal the Godfather, one of the most surreal of his life. It was surreal just reading that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Skies turning partly cloudy in the overnight. Northwest winds, though, still breezy, and lows dropping to the upper teens. On Tuesday, look for quite a bit of sunshine and also a few high clouds in the afternoon. Highs in the upper 20s to near 30. Right now, it's 19.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it. All right.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Al Petrelli, Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins the show, and filmmaker Emmett Lavorty. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
So I just have to read this text again. This is from Anna in the 608. Hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite Thanksgiving side dish is candied yams with brown sugar and pecans. No marshmallows. I've never heard of that. I've heard of brown sugar and yams or sweet potatoes, but the pecans, I'm going to have to try that. Anna, this has just become kind of the nightlight recipe exchange here tonight. I love it. Jim from Appleton says, my favorite side dish is homemade cranberries. Nice, Jim. I trust you make them yourself, if they're homemade, or maybe your wife. Monica from Mount Horeb, that's in the 608, says, green bean casserole. Conrad, your favorite. But I don't take it anymore because not enough of my family members like it. Yeah, that's a kind of a tough sell. The people that like it love it. But I would say there's a lot of detractors there with the green bean casserole. She continues, I would be satisfied to have that mashed potatoes and pumpkin pie for the entire meal. I'm totally with you there, Monica. I don't need the meat. Joe from the 715 says, love some stuff. Love some stuffing, I think he means, and green beans. Very polarizing topic, the green beans. Conrad's mom checks in and says, sweet potatoes?
I don't like sweet potatoes.
Fantastic. Really?
Yeah, I don't.
You got to learn to like them. They're too good for you.
I know.
To eat, you know? That's how I was. And Conrad's dad, of course. Favorite side dish, green beans. Conrad, you're a man on an island. cream of mushroom soup topped with French's toasted crunchy onions. Yes, that is the green bean staple. My dad loves that too. I've never been able to get into that. Keep those texts coming, folks. These are great. These are fun to read, and they're getting me in the mood for Thanksgiving dinner. Right now, we're going to turn our attention to one of our favorite guests. He is a Nightlight frequent flyer and is the CityCast Madison newsletter editor and a Madison-based, obviously, entertainment critic. Rob Thomas joins us now. Rob, how are you?
Hey, Pete. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you. It's good to have you back. I was hoping I could get you on the heels of Glicked Weekend. So
it's pronounced Glicked. I wasn't sure if it was that or Glicked. I think you're right, but it felt weird to say Glicked.
You know what? I think you're right about that. Phonetically, Glicked.
Yeah, but then it's Wicked, right? It's a combination.
Wicked.
Gladiator 2. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it worked. It doesn't roll off the tongue like Barbenheimer does, right?
They probably workshopped it. And yeah. Came up empty, I guess. I don't know.
Better than Wadiator.
Right. Absolutely. How you doing, Rob?
I'm doing great. Yeah.
Are you? Good.
Excited about Thanksgiving and it feels like there's a ton of movies right around the corner that are coming out.
It. Yeah.
It's a good time. Yeah.
How do the Thomases celebrate Thanksgiving? What do you have on your agenda?
So let's see. This year I think we might be playing it pretty informal. When my wife, when we have all the kids, she has a plan. It's like down to the minute, all planned out of all the different courses and when this one has to be done and this one goes in the oven. It really is an impressive technical achievement, and it goes off without a hitch every time.
That is really impressive, and I'm not going to tell my wife that because that's how she fantasizes about being. Like, she honestly, she keeps pestering me for details. She's like, so what is happening? Because it's both of our families involved this year, and my family's kind of like, well, we'll get it together. And that's the extent of the planning,
right?
Whereas
right.
My wife is like, what's happening at 4:37? You know, it's sort of like two completely different worlds, and I'm in the middle, Rob. All right, so let's jump in. Hey, before we start with Glicked, where do you rank Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? A, in the scope of movies as a whole, and B, as a holiday movie?
I think it might be my favorite. Well, I think it's one of the best comedies of the 80s. I mean, there's no question about that. I think it's probably my favorite John Hughes movie, you know?
Yeah.
And as far as Thanksgiving movies, I mean, it's just number one with a bullet. Like, it's
right.
The greatest. If you go on Amazon Prime, they've sort of photoshopped the poster to make it look like a Christmas movie. And that is blasphemy in my view. It is not a Christmas movie. It is a getting home for Thanksgiving movie. We don't have enough of those. Yeah.
Yeah. And why do you need to shoehorn another film into the Christmas lineup? I mean,
that's right.
Yeah. Why not just be the best at, I guess, you know, I understand they want to sell and get people to watch it, as many eyes on it as they can, but that's ridiculous. I rank it as, like, to me, it's just kind of a flawless movie.
Yes.
There's no fat. It's got you know, it's got your character arc that kind of sneaks up on you, which is great. It's got a lot of tension, comedy. The drama's great. I mean, it is lacking nothing. So I put it as one of my favorite comedies of all time.
I would, yeah, best John Candy performance, I would say.
Yeah.
Probably best Steve Martin performance. Maybe Roxanne would be up there with that. But like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, it's great. And I don't know if you know, but like, did you see Deadpool versus Wolverine?
No, I still have not seen it. Conrad saw
it. So Ryan Reynolds is a huge Planes, Trains, and Automobiles fan, and that movie is full of Easter eggs about Planes, Trains.
Oh, really?
Like you see, like they're walking through the wasteland. I won't bother to explain it, but like you can see their car from the movie in the background.
Oh,
there's
wow.
All this stuff. Yeah, it's online somewhere. All the different Easter eggs. So
that's pretty.
It's a
cool
movie that it's aged very well. There's no question.
I think I see the poster you're talking about on Amazon with Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. The two of them are standing there, and then there's like arrows, and it looks like a candy cane behind
my skin crawl.
Yeah, what is that? And there's green and red. Yeah, that's kind of not necessary.
Nope.
All right, so let's jump in. You saw Wicked. I have not. I told Conrad earlier in the show, I wanted to start with Wicked because I haven't, based on what I'm reading, I will not have seen anything like that until I see it. And I was excited. I feel like Gladiator, I'm going to see more of the same, which I was still excited to see it. But my wife is having a girls' night and was going to go see it with them. So we went and saw Gladiator 2, which I liked, and I'll talk about it. But I'd love to hear about Wicked first, if you'll indulge.
So, yeah, I saw it with my daughters. There was like an early screening Monday before it opened.
Okay.
So it was like the diehard Wicked fans.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing was, I'm not that big a fan of the musical, and okay. It's like, so it's they're breaking up into two parts, and this is the first part, the first act of the musical, and it's 2 hours and 40 minutes long, which is longer than the whole musical is on Broadway.
Oh, really?
And that includes the intermission. So there was a lot I liked about it. Like, I think Ariana Grande, who was so funny on SNL a few weeks ago, and Cynthia Erivo were fantastic. Like, they have, you know, of course, amazing voices, and really played the comedy and the drama of, you know, people don't, it's sort of like a prequel of Wizard of Oz, where the future good, you know, Glinda the Good Witch and the Wicked Witch of the West are like friends in college, or frenemies, I guess, in college. But that's a long, you know, there's not that much story when you're stretching out over 2 hours and 40 minutes. There's no additional song, so it actually doesn't feel like there's that much music in it, sort of strangely, you know, because so I mean I see people who love the play just love it and can't wait for the second part next year. I wouldn't dissuade anybody from seeing it, but like, you know, if you just cut off like a half hour of it, I think, just tighten up a little bit, I think it would have been a lot stronger.
Okay, so out of 5 stars, what are we looking at?
5, I'd say like a gentleman's 3, probably.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, there's, like I said, there's like a great 90, 100 minute movie in there.
Okay.
Great music. Yeah. Put it that way.
Too much fat.
Right. I would say, yeah. Because they don't add anything really from the, you know, to justify that length, I don't think. It just sort of takes longer.
What about Rob? Like, I've been reading a lot of stuff about how they went with real sets and not so much CGI. In fact, the costume designer and makeup person said it was so refreshing to work on Wicked because the sets were real, as opposed to like Marvel films where everything's green screen and CGI. Did that stand out to you at all? The locations?
Yeah,
the
it looks great. I mean, a lot of it takes place at this university. They're both at. And the other thing is, I think a lot of it was sung live and not dubbed, from what
I heard.
Tell,
that, yeah,
which is a pretty amazing in this day and age. And so I think that does, you know, it does sort of recreate the experience of seeing the musical to some degree when people are really singing in front of you and there's a real set. So and like the director, he did John M. Chu. He did In the Heights, and he did Crazy Rich Asian. So he's a really good director. I loved In the Heights. I thought that was phenomenal. So he definitely knows what he's doing. And like I said, those two actresses are just fantastic. I mean, they're so perfectly cast.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I recommend it. Yeah.
How are you saying, Cynthia Erivo's character? Is it Elphaba?
I don't know if I actually had to say it out loud before, but yeah, I would say Elphaba or Elphaba.
That's how I am. I've always read it, and I have to do these Hollywood beats, and I'm like, I have no idea how to even say that, so I better look that up or ask the expert. Well, that's great. All right, so I still can't wait to see it, or I'm still very intrigued, and I want to see it, and I have a feeling I'll enjoy it. But what are you hearing? Are you hearing anything about Gladiator 2? Because I did like it, but I kind of felt like it was in some ways it was an ode to the first film. Sure. And they kept flashing back to Russell Crowe, and it was and they did enough interesting things with how Lucius from the first film, the boy, had to go off and find his way and stay away from the Emperor or whatever it was. That was interesting. I don't know that they needed to flash back to the original Gladiator like they did, but it was sort of an ode. And then they made a big reveal at some point. And the acting was great. Like, Denzel Washington was great. Pedro Pascal, in my opinion, should be talked about. Like, his performance was so nuanced and compared to Washington, who was great. But he's great in everything. I expect that. But right. And Connie Nielsen was great. I don't know. Are you hearing anything about there was Oscar talk about Gladiator 2? But it got a 75% on Rotten Tomatoes, which to me, for a highly anticipated sequel, it seems like it would have done better than that. I don't know.
I'm a little surprised. That, I mean, because I'm hearing the same sort of mixed reviews. I haven't seen it. I think we're going to try and go at some point over the Thanksgiving long weekend for sure, because it's one I really wanted to see.
Yeah.
And I thought the trailer was phenomenal. It made me think, like, I definitely want to see this. You know, I mean, Denzel Washington is always good, but he seems to be really having fun here in a way he doesn't always in movies. Like, it reminds me a little bit of like Training Day, where you're like, oh yeah, he can do this too, you know what I mean? Yeah,
that's what I was thinking about too, was Training Day, because he plays such a good bad guy, you know.
Yes, exactly. He doesn't always get the chance to do that, so I'm a little surprised that and I'm not really getting a good handle on why people aren't that enthusiastic about it. Maybe it is, like you said, it's just kind of leaning a little too heavily on the first movie. So I'm curious to see it for sure. I mean, that's not going to dissuade me, but I'm surprised. Like I said, like at this point, I think definitely Denzel Washington's going to get nominated for an Oscar, but I'm not sure, other than like maybe costumes or something, like, or production design.
Yeah.
Whether the other parts would be nominated.
My guest is Rob Thomas. He is the CityCast Madison newsletter editor and a film and TV critic. Rob, and that's kind of the thing that where I felt like they were recycling. The best music in Gladiator 2 was in Gladiator 1. Like, they kind of called back to it a couple times. And I'm just like, yeah, I felt like, and it bums me out, because I feel like that's why I wanted to see Wicked more, is because I feel like I've already seen this. I don't know how different they can possibly make it, if that makes sense.
Sure, absolutely, yeah. I guess I'll have to see. I mean, the scene, they have like a sea battle within the Colosseum or something. That looks cool to me. I mean, I don't know. I guess we'll have to see for myself.
I'd be interested to see what you think. What about the numbers when it comes to the, you know, everyone's calling this Barbenheimer Light or Click It or Waddy 8 or whatever. They didn't really come close numbers-wise, but it's still a pretty good start to the holiday box office season, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was like, I think Wicked did $115 million last weekend domestic, which is the third best of the year behind Inside Out 2 and the Deadpool movie.
Right.
And Gladiator did half that, about 55.
Right.
I think it's doing really well overseas too. So they're not too unhappy with that. And like you said, like, I mean, Thanksgiving's just getting geared up, and that's the biggest movie weekend of the year. So
absolutely.
Yeah,
I think it's a good start. And I think, you know, they're both, no one who worked on these films is going to be starving, but I think it is.
Thank
a good
goodness.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not a summer release either. Barbenheimer was summer, and this is, but this is still a pretty healthy showing, and I think people will show up at the movies this year. Rob Thomas is my guest. We'll have more with Rob after a very short break. This is Peach Wabbit and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know, now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
There's a problem with every sign, bargain buildings, weights and pulleys.
From the 818, Bridget says, mashed potatoes and gravy, pumpkin pie and whipped cream, yummy. That's two sides, Bridget. But we'll accept the answer. What is your favorite Thanksgiving side dish? That is tonight's question. Let us know what you think. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or let us know on the stream. My guest is Rob Thomas. He is the CityCast newsletter editor, CityCast Madison newsletter editor. And Rob, do you have a favorite side dish when it comes to Thanksgiving?
Has anybody mentioned Waldorf salad or ambrosia?
No.
Do you know what that is? Is that just a me thing?
No, I do, but I don't. It's been years since I've heard that. Please explain.
It's like a like salad. Let's put that in heavy quotation marks because it's like right. Fruit, like apple slices, orange slices, grapes.
Yeah.
And then it's like in a sort of whipped cream mix. Walnuts are used in there. I think it was like a delicacy at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel.
Okay.
That's the reason. But that was always my favorite. Oh, and actual marshmallows, mini marshmallows too. And
wow, nice.
Since I was a kid, that was always the go-to for me. So even though it's, you know, a kid-friendly one, that's when I always like to see it.
I'm not a salad guy on Thanksgiving. It's like the last thing in my mind, but that's not really a salad, so I would probably dive into that.
Right. By Thanksgiving standards, that's
right,
a salad.
Right. All right, so we covered Glicket or Glicked or whatever you want to call it. What any other big films in the next few weeks we can look forward to, Rob, as Christmas approaches?
Oh gosh, I should have looked at the calendar ahead of time. Let's see. Well, the big one for Thanksgiving is Moana 2.
Right.
That's opening Wednesday. And that's the Disney one. So I think they're thinking that's going to be a huge one.
Yeah.
And then let me try and think. The one I saw the trailer for, and this isn't until Christmas Day, is the Bob Dylan one, A Complete Unknown.
Oh, yeah.
With Timothée Chalamet not only playing Dylan pretty well, but actually singing a lot like him, which is kind of surprising. And Edward Norton plays Pete Seeger. And the actress who plays Joan Baez, I'm not familiar with her, but she looks just like her. And it sort of follows like Dylan going from the Greenwich Village folk scene to when he goes electric at the Newport Folk Festival I think that looks great. I'm really excited about it. It's the same director who did Walk the Line.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's what I'm really looking forward to.
It's gotten a lot of Oscar buzz. Like they're saying, at least what I've read, for what it's worth, Timothy Chalamet is getting, he might be the front runner. Probably just because he's playing such an iconic character, but he is a good actor too. Monica Barbaro is who I think you were trying to think of, the person Joan Baez. Yeah, she's getting a lot of buzz.
Just like her.
Yeah, that's one I definitely want to see. And Moana, I mean, it's been the kids' movies that have crushed at the box office throughout the summer. Like you said before, Inside Out 2 and the Minions one. So, yeah, I think that could do even better than Wicked, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, but that's three really big movies for the Thanksgiving weekend with that and Gladiator. So it's going to be busy. Yeah,
absolutely. Let's turn our attention to, well, before we get into TV, you have a kind of a cool list of shows that I've wanted to get to as well, but your Substack, you wrote about Martin Scorsese and his man crushes when it comes to filmmaking. Please explain. That was a great article.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it was this documentary, and it's these filmmakers who, Michael Powell and Emmerich Pressburger, they go by Powell and Pressburger, like Merchant Ivory, basically. And I really didn't know much. Like, I sort of heard about them in some of their films from the 40s and 50s, like The Red Shoes or Black Narcissus. They're films that I always saw in, like, top 10 all-time lists. And Scorsese was a huge fan of them since he was a little kid, because I guess when he was growing up in the 50s, the only movies you could see on TV were British movies, because the American movie studios were like, TV's competition, we're not going to give him anything for free. So he watched all these British movies and started loving these movies by Powell and Pressburger. So and became friends with one of them in the 80s. Like, there's a shot of them at the set of King of Comedy. So there's this documentary called Made in England, which is set on DVD, but also if you have cable, it's on the Turner Classic Movies streaming app. And it's great, because I didn't know much about these films or filmmakers, and Scorsese is on camera basically like teaching a class, like walking you through each one of the films, telling you about them, telling you why they're important, telling you how, like, they inspired, like, Raging Bull and all these other films that Scorsese made. It's really cool. It's like, it reminded me a lot of like Roger Ebert, the way he would, like, write about these great movies in a way that was very accessible, and it wasn't like, oh, if you don't know who this is, you know you wouldn't understand. It's like he wants to share these great movies with people who don't know about them. So, like, I came away with that, like, a whole list of great movies I wanted to track down on, like, the Criterion Channel or something like
that. Yeah. It's so funny, Rob, because I'm a huge movie fan, but I'm really just that. I'm a fan. Like, that's why I love having people like you on or other critics, because I never even heard of these guys.
Right.
You know, and it's like, I read this article and it's like, opens up a whole new world. And I'm like, yes, of course, Martin Scorsese had influences. And I think you make a point at some point in the article to say it's not just Raging Bull or The Godfather, but this is the same guy that did After Hours. And, you know, it's neat to see the influence of other filmmakers on such an American classic like Scorsese.
Right.
So, hey, can you stick around? Can we talk a little TV after the news?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Awesome. Rob Thomas is here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about, we covered Glicked Weekend, and now we're going to jump into some TV and things you can binge watch over the Thanksgiving weekend. And then Jeff Pfeiffer is here to talk about the PBS special Wisconsin Lighthouses in the second hour as well. That'll be fun. So a lot more Nightlight coming up. Stay tuned for Civic Media's award-winning news. I'm Pete Schwabe, and this is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Yeah. Give me a piece of
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our old friend Luke Mathers stops by for Tuesday Tangents with Luke, and we'll find out what's grinding his gears. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
bringing a house of pain.
Backside pressure, down he goes, inside the 30-yard line.
To a game day near you.
Picked off by Wisconsin, and the Badgers win it.
That's how you create a program. That's how you create a team.
Join us Friday. The Badgers battle the Gophers for Paul Bunyan's axe. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR, 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.